It's the 120 podcast, Mikey Finelli alongside Ben Hootie. We've been gone for most of 2 weeks. I would say the normal response, we have no excuse, but we do. We do have an excuse for you audio listeners. I just held up my piece of paper that says I am a graduate. Not even yet. It's not in there yet. I haven't gotten it in the mail. My diploma cover that says I am a graduate from the University of Illinois State and beautiful Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, where Ben is currently sitting in his brand new apartment, which you might recognize that wall color. It is a different unit in the same building I once lived in when I was in college 2 days ago.
I feel like every episode I'm in a new setting these days, right? Like one episode I'm home, the next like home in Chicago, the next episode I'm back at, you know, this spot at my old place, or I'm in a different spot in my old place because the guy above me loved to play the guitar all the time. And now I'm in my new apartment. So you're not going to see it for most of the summer, but starting in the spring, this is going to be the spot. We're going to get some Cubs decor. We'll get the W flag probably right behind me, something like that. It's going to look a lot better, but just moved in today. It's been a wild couple of weeks for me and you both, you know, as the school year wraps up here, and I think we're both beat. We were just talking about it before we went on. But yeah, man, it feels good to be in this new place. Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
I've said it enough, but
publicly
happy for you, and it's awesome.
Yeah, we are good friends outside of just the podcast. We became better friends because we started podcasting, but we are good friends outside of the podcast. We spent a lot of time together in that last week, and we're going to continue spending time together. As you can see, I have this backdrop, as you've seen before. It's home, back to home cooking for at least a few months here. We'll see where the road takes us. Maybe 120 pod will take off to the moon, and then you'll drop out and I'll leave home, and I don't know. Or maybe more likely I'll find a regular job and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Okay. If it takes off, all I'm saying is I don't think mom and dad would let me drop out.
Yeah, you got to get your diploma cover too.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're supposed to send me the actual diploma in the mail, so I'm waiting on that. We went to a Cubs game a week ago today. It feels like it was the longest week ago today ever as we record this on a Monday night on May 13th. We went to the Cubs game on May 6th with our good friends Logan and Sam and Cash, and we had a great time. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Sam Thieme, of course, a big fan of the pod, asked us where's the most recent episode. We told him this is a huge week. We're too busy. Still made time for a Cubs game. Didn't go our way in that Padres series. We'll get there. A lot to talk about in the world of the Chicago Cubs. I went to the Cardinals game Tuesday night, so I saw the Bush walk-off from Bush Stadium. A lot of nonsense. There is a ton going on. We somehow squeezed in finding time to graduate. Ben has taken over as the sports director of the Illinois State Campus radio station. We're still finding time, as we will the rest of the summer, to record and get back onto track and for these Monday releases. So yeah. We start with this series, but Ben, any final notes before we wrap up this intro?
No, I'm excited. This is really like last time when we kind of kicked it into full gear. And just the end of the school year just kicks our asses, dude. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
The Sunday night releases will continue to be a mainstay, and the occasional, like, you know, if they want to go on a 10-game winning streak like they did last summer, then maybe you'll get like a Wednesday or Thursday night episode.
Know what? I miss those. We need to get one of those for morale soon. Not just a win streak, just a 720, 120 record, meaning a random record. As we go live on the podcast today, Ben spent his day moving into a new apartment, planning for sports broadcasts at Illinois State University, doing amazing, awesome things. I fed the birds in a local park and played some golf poorly. I have no idea what to do with the rest of my life, but no, I'll be fine. But the Cubs made a huge trade. Well, the Cubs made a decent trade as we came on the air. They got a reliever, Tyson Miller. My phone is too bright, you can't tell. Came up as a Cub during the COVID season, was drafted by the Cubs during 2016, one of their many accomplishments that year, you could say. And they just traded back for him from the Mariners to try and keep working on what has been a pretty terrible bullpen. Miller, per Jeff Passan's tweet, had a 12-for-1 K-to-walk ratio and only 11 and two-thirds innings pitched this season with 9 appearances. So Tyson Miller's back with the Chicago Cubs. I wouldn't call it a huge deal. I got a little ahead of myself. Ben excited me as right before we started recording, said we made a trade. But I'm not going to complain about trying to make something work.
No, not at all. And he doesn't look like he's been that bad this year either. So he recently just got DFA'd, so that kind of opened the door. I'm assuming they had to do something with, bringing someone out of their 40 man or whatever it might have been. But I mean, the biggest thing about that we've been complaining about this year is our bullpen. So maybe Jed's pretty good with scouting out some arms for the most part. And this is a former, big league hand of the Cubs and a farm system guy from the Cubs. So maybe he's seen what he's liked and can start to pitch some quality innings for the team. He's going to go right onto the roster since he got DFA'd. So he'll slide right into that to the spot. I'm assuming Jose Kwas will get optioned yet again after he's been bussing back and forth between Pittsburgh and Atlanta and
Iowa.
Iowa the last like 4 days. But I'm not complaining. Solid trade. Good to get an arm in here because shit, they really need it. They are, everyone is beat up right now.
Yeah, everyone's beat up. And one thing we talked about the last time we recorded that still has remained relatively true, although there's been rare exceptions. The Cubs continue to win series, but it has not been as pretty as perhaps it started the year. We're going to get into this rotation, which has been a bright spot. We're going to end the episode positively when we can. We're going to talk about some negatives first. Let's talk Ian Happ, who has been slow in recent games. He's dropped now to 225 on the season, 32 hits for 142 at bats, including tonight as we record. Basically ended that Braves game in a late game rally. Morel with perhaps his greatest at bat of the season, a 13 pitch walk that he ended up leaving the game on. Hope he's good. And Ian just turns over into a double play. Pretty much the ball game from there. Happer is not finding success at the plate. Ben, you've said before on this show, did we jump to conclusions with that extension a season ago? Where are we at on that right now?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing that I will give defense to is, and JD was talking about on the broadcast today, was he got off to a slow start last year. But it's a little scary that even when he got off to a slow start last year, it was really like the right-handed at bats that were the big struggle. And it's like flip this year. And Ian is taking probably 75% of his major league at bats from the left side. He looks lost up there right now. He's just swinging at bad pitches, like just stupid swings, and grounding into double play. He's not hitting the ball to all parts of the field. He's not hitting for power, which is something that to keep an eye on. It really stinks because I don't think the extension is not. It's we talked about it. When we did the breaking episode, it's so team friendly that it almost doesn't feel like it hurts you. But when this team is fully healthy, if he continues to play like this, I mean, Mike Talkman right now is the most valuable player on the Cubs in terms of WAR, which is just nuts to think about, but that's the truth right now. And you have Cody Bellinger who's going to take back over center field and Seiya Suzuki who's back in right. And are you Talkman's probably going to DH for the most part, but like there could be a better option on the bench. So I don't know. It hopefully he breaks out of the slump because we've seen it before, but it's just been a really, really bad stretch. And it was kind of going the same way. I kept circling whenever we talk about it, I kept circling out him and Dansby. And Dansby's obviously on the IL right now, so they kind of got ahead of that and was like, let's give him some rest. He wants to be out there, and he probably could be playing right now on that knee, but he was obviously slumping too, so they're gonna give him some rest. But yeah, it's just not a good look right now, especially for a team that desperately needs offense because this offense has been slow the last couple of weeks.
Saya two hits in the first game against the Pirates, came back up as Dansby Swanson was sent to the IL with that nagging knee injury that he tried to play through. And unfortunately, as you pointed out, Ben had not really been hot to start the year anyway. And Seiya Suzuki comes back up to some success so far. Also, Cody Bellinger going into this series against the Braves had an RBI in four of his last five games. So he has looked hot again, coming back up at the plate. Yeah, Dansby Swanson, to that same point you made, Ben, was also slumping before he was put on the IL. Perhaps part of that had to do with his knee injury, but Yeah, it seems like what goes around comes around with this Cubs team. The more things change, they stay the same. You're not really sending guys down that are fringe major leaguers. Instead, you're taking one all-star and putting them back in the IL in exchange for another all-star to return. The Cubs have really been in their own way as it pertains to the injuries to start the season.
It's crazy. Thankfully, Seiya and Cody are back. And Seiya, I'll just mention this really quick. He's looked good. Like, he looks healthy. He is hitting the shit out of the ball, getting so unlucky. The amount of times he's hit the ball hard that's been, caught in a fielder's glove, it's crazy. And then you mentioned Cody as well. He came out of the gate swinging really well too. But just, yeah, Dansby on the IL right now. We talk about the bullpen. There's no one you could trust right now. And of course, Yency Almonte, who's really been awesome after a really tough first couple outings. He's been one of our better relievers throughout this entire season. He now has no timetable to return with like forearm stuff. And then I just saw that, after yesterday in Pittsburgh, after Adbert gave up yet another home run. Thankfully, he didn't end up limiting he limited the damage. But yeah, Adbert is also going to the IL. So just this team, it stinks right now because what are we like 6 games over 500? And you're a couple injuries from not happening and a couple non-blown save slash blown bullpen opportunities away from this team being like the best in Major League Baseball right now. So the way that they've been able to fight under Council, it's been really cool to see. But you just kind of hang your head over some of the things that have happened over the last couple of weeks, especially with injuries and bullpen stuff. And it's like, damn, like, this team could be so much better than what we're seeing right now. And I think we're seeing a team that is in the upper tier echelon of teams in Major League Baseball right now.
Talk about Council getting fiery for this team. Got ejected today defending Shota Imanaga in what was another quality start for him, not by the definition of the term, but just generally kept his ERA pristine. Now back under that 1 point mark at 0.96. He had a bunch of more scoreless innings. Wes came in and let up some runs, and that's all it took in the 2-0 loss to the Braves. Shota Imanaga has been not only a blessing in disguise now for the Cubs, but it's been long enough now through all these starts that the best player on this Cubs team through the early years and has taken notice around the league, the 30-year-old, well on his way to the NL Rookie of the Year, and perhaps more than that. He looks incredible. And Craig Counsell is defending Imanaga and the Cubs pitching staff that was kind of counted out to start the year, a little bit underrated to start the year. I mean, you had Justin Steele, who ended up missing a ton of time. You had Shota Imanaga, who everyone thought was the second best prospect to come out of this Japanese pitching class. Everyone kind of wrote off Kyle Hendricks, who, which they might have been right until we saw a little bit of a better start yesterday. We've seen a decent return from Jameson Taillon, and overall, we've seen a better Cubs pitching rotation this season that honestly has been a real nice surprise and has been keeping the Cubs at that mark, like you said, despite offensive injuries, 24 wins in the season in that upper tier of the National League teams.
It's one of the best starting rotations in Major League Baseball right now. And me and you have talked about this for 2 years about just how crucial that starting pitching depth is. And it really has come in clutch for the Cubs this entire season. Every time that someone gets knocked up or hurt, because, we've seen injuries to Jordan Wicks, we've seen injuries to Justin Steele, Kyle Hendricks had an injury. I put that in air quotes for anyone that's not watching on YouTube. And every single time it's been a next up man mentality. We've seen great starts from Hayden Wesneski, as you mentioned. Ben Brown, I think, has been phenomenal in his rookie year thus far. And that's not even mentioning, like, I want to talk a little bit about Shota, but really, when you look at like just the deep cut MVPs of this team so far, I think it's three starting pitchers. I think it's Shota Imanaga, obviously, and then Javier Assad and Jameson Taillon. They have been phenomenal. Like, they are that it's hard to even score a run off Jameson Taillon and Javier Assad right now. But what world are we living in? They've just been phenomenal. And I want to go back to Shota because I was just watching a start today, and it reminded me the way that he pitches, he is just so smart. Just the way that he just controls the strike zone, the way that he managed to get swings and misses. It reminds me of a prime Kyle Hendricks with a little more velocity and obviously coming from the left side. Like, and they talked about that when he was coming over from Japan, how he was, what do they call him? The pitching,
Philosopher.
Pitching philosopher. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, when you're watching it in action, like, I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of the year about how we thought that there was going to be some bumps in the road and he, you know, maybe he's like a bona fide 3 or 4 starter. And if he were to have like a 4 ERA on the season, then I think we'd be happy with that. Cubs got the steal of maybe the last 5 years, the way things have been going. I mean, this guy's on a 4-year, $53 million contract, and he's the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. It has just been awesome to watch. And today was his worst start of the season, I would say. And he still went 5 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts.
Got like, out of the jam. On. Got out of the jam.
When every Council single got jam. Fiery. Every single jam. He got himself into 2, and he got out of it both times. It's phenomenal to watch him pitch.
He deals with the batter ahead of him and out philosophizes every single batter. I mean, he sees a guy 3-4 times throughout a game if he's pitching into the 7th, 8th inning, and every time he's got a new plan. He looks at a batter every time based on what he knows about them, and you can't get the bumps in the road like we saw with other Japanese players coming over, other international players coming over, if you outplan the people outplanning you. We saw that with Seiya Suzuki in his first year. He struggled his second month because there was film on him. When Shota Imanaga is so prepared, and maybe that's a testament to this Cubs pitching staff as well, when Shota Imanaga is so prepared that he knows every game, there's this plan, this plan, and this plan. Every time I see this guy, it's perfect for a Cubs bullpen that could use some help. They don't want to have to come in the 4th inning, in the 5th inning. Yeah. And as we saw today, Shota got into some trouble early on. He was able to get out of it, but he had to leave the game earlier than usual. And when Wes came in, that was all she wrote. And it's not a knock on Hayden Wesneski. I think he's shown some nice signs this year as well. But Shota Imanaga is truly a blessing for this Cubs team. And as you said, could be the steal of this year or any other year. Let's get back on Kyle Hendricks. I love his quote after the win against Pittsburgh to finish out that series. He said, "I love just, it felt good to keep the boys in a game. He is just such a leader. It's hard to not root for him. He's been around the game well too long to know that he doesn't want to stick into games. He doesn't want to stick into a starting rotation where he's going to be bad. Had a couple decent rehab starts, got called back up for a start. Off the IL and ended up playing pretty serviceably. And that's all you can ask from what is going to end up being probably the 4th or 5th man at this point in this Cubs rotation. Hopefully here to stay."
Yeah, you hope so. And it kind of just goes back to like the last couple of years. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, how historically he's had pretty bad Aprils. Now, was it as bad as we saw it, you know, this past April? No, definitely not. But, you know, I'm assuming that while he had maybe a little bit of an injury, it was mostly kind of just for him to go back down to Iowa, work on his mechanics, figure it out against, you know, not this major league level. And I think he looked really damn sharp yesterday. And it reminded me of prime Kyle Hendricks to a degree. And it kind of just goes back to what we saw at the end of last year. Like, if we could get that start out of Kyle Hendricks any day of the week, and as he said, just keeping the guys in a ball game, that's all you can ask out of a 5th guy in your rotation. And the other important part too that I want to mention about Kyle Hendricks potentially being really good out of the starting rotation is because it allows, as we've seen, you know, the Cubs don't have the best bullpen right now, and they don't have that much swing and miss in their bullpen either. This allows Ben Brown and Wesneski to be these long-term relievers in the bullpen, which it'd be nice to have them be starters because they're young and all that. But, you know, they look just as good in relief roles. Obviously, Wesneski got a little banged around today, but that's nothing to hang your head over because he's been very good this year.
A note that I wanted to add is I just saw this tweet pop up. At Cubs Prospects, Brian Smith on Twitter points out that Tyson Miller has improved his slider and now has been replaced with a baby sweeper since we last saw him as a Cub. And he has improved on his strengths in his big extension since then as well. So we are getting a different Tyson Miller to support a bullpen, which has continued to struggle. Ben, as you pointed out earlier in the episode, Abert Alzolay goes down with perhaps a Kyle Hendricks-esque injury, or is that what we're calling it at this point? If he was playing well, I don't think this would be something that would see him lose time. And Jose Kwas gets sent back up theoretically, although I, as you predicted, I don't think he's going to stay up now with Miller. Somebody correctly predicted this. I want to say maybe it was Danny Rocket on Twitter. I don't know. I don't want to miscredit it, but somebody said you are all going to be shocked in about a month when Albert Azulay gets optioned for Jose Kwas. And he did. That's exactly what happened. This is a problem.
Well, Albert didn't get optioned. Albert can't get optioned.
Well, no. Well, yeah, but Albert got sent to the IL.
The fake IL.
Essentially the same thing for somebody who's out of options and not, you know, has enough respect to not get just cut.
Yeah. It's – even though I saw someone bring up a good point today, because technically Jose Abreu doesn't have any options and he got sent to the minor league. So apparently if you, like, talk to your team or something like that, and, like, you can, like – find an agreement to, like, fix yourself in the minor leagues or whatever. I don't
know,
something
like
that.
You could probably mend your contract.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But either way, it's the downfall of Abbott's wild. I really hope he gets it together because, you know, me and you have always talked about it. He's just such a lovable guy with his tweets and everything. And, you know, it's just seeing him last year with that fist. I mean, it was, I didn't want him to do it because it would have been a bad look yesterday, but, you know, he technically did get a save yesterday and he was just, he came off the mound just like, you know, he kind of like hit his chest a little bit.
I think the people's fist is gone, even if he returns back to glory. Although if he does return and eventually makes another big save and he does it, I think that would get the people going again. But
yeah.
And now we're revealing that even though he's been a solid, the own Cubs bullpen even calls him Heart Attack Hector. I mean, this is going to get interesting, Ben. This is, I've seen this movie before. It scares me a little bit when you're losing games like today, and people will like to say that the games don't matter to the fall because of the extended playoffs and or the late summer. The Cubs had a historic collapse last September, and they still came up just one or two games short. These games matter. I'm not trying to scare people. We had a nice series win over the weekend. We still have a chance to win this series against the Braves after tonight and the 0-2 loss. But these games do matter. And when you lose like that, it hurts a little bit. And
yeah.
they got to start doing the right things. Maybe Jed has opened the door to continuing to tool around this team.
Mikey, I've seen this story before in years past too, with a bullpen that wants to give you a heart attack. And at the deadline, you end up going out and getting an all-star closer. We had our own heart attack, Hector, in 2016, if you don't remember. And now we have another one. So maybe they want to, you know, I'm not mentioning any names, but, you know, if you're a team that wants to win, anything could be on the table.
Are you thinking the Cubs getting the Oakland A's sweepstakes?
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Hector.
I'm not,
Hector,
I don't want to name any names, though.
We should see if Hector Rondon wants to come on the 120 pod. Remember we almost got Pedro Strop?
We never even revealed that to the world.
Now I feel like it's been long enough. Hopefully it works out at some point, but we all, cause I thought you meant Pedro Strop for a second, but then you said our very own Hector. So I got what you meant, but Stropey was in talks with Ben specifically through the 120 account or maybe was it through your personal or through the 120 account?
No, it was through 120
on Twitter to come on the show. And it just never really came to fruition. We tried to plan it a couple times. We had like an exact time, I think, set at one point, but it was part of our awesome offseason of interviews that we had with a number of Cubs prospects and Cubs adjacent influencers. And it would have been great to have a world champ on the show. We'll have to figure it out at some point. We're going to have to.
There would be multiple times where I would wake up like at like, you know, just some random day. So we were really like talking like a lot to get him on the show this one day. And then he ended up saying like, hey, like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Let's do this. And I was like, okay, no worries. And then it kind of just became like this thing where like, I just kind of waited for him to text me back and he would, and he did it multiple times where it was like, oh yeah, I'll come on the show. And then like, I texted him back and I just never heard back. Hey, that man's living his life. He's all over the place. I know he's in Chicago sometimes, Dominican or Puerto Rico. I'm pretty sure he's doing an Obvious Shirts meet and greet pretty soon here too. So just let them, he will forever be a Cubs legend. No hard feelings here. It's just funny to me because the way that our text conversation went, it's exactly how I would expect Pedro Schrobe to be.
Extremely nice, like
Yes.
extremely nice, extremely like willing to do it. Just it didn't really come to an organized conclusion. Now, not because of your fault, I could say it
No.
that way. I mean, you were adamant about wanting to. I mean, maybe you even questioned if you were being too adamant. I was like, no, he said yes. Like, let's continue this. Who knows? Maybe this will open the door for it to be an opportunity again. Ben, I don't know if you saw, there was another prospect list today, and the Cubs continuing to show up with a number of huge prospects, led of course by Pete Crow Armstrong. Even though he's, what's the actual line for losing your eligibility to be called a prospect? I forget the exact number.
80 games in Major
Okay,
League Baseball.
he's gonna get
He's
close.
getting close, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like Langford's still on there and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 80. It might even be more than that. I think you have to be like eligible for the rookie of the year or something like that. Whatever. So whatever that entails. But yeah, 8 prospects. I think they lead the league again for this top 100.
It's always us in Baltimore. It changes, but it's always us.
Some players graduated too, so you're seeing like Bush graduated, so you're seeing some new guys pop in there. It's exciting. I love it. I love prospects.
Michael Bush doesn't have one of these. He actually probably does. I'm kidding.
Where did he
I'm
go to
just,
school? Did he go to
I don't know.
UCLA? I think he went to UCLA.
He didn't go to the Illinois State University. I'm like White Sox legend Paul DeJong.
Let's see. Hold up. I'm gonna pull
And
this up.
me.
Michael Bush. North Carolina. Wait, no.
UNC. That makes, I think we've talked about that before,
Yep,
actually. Yeah.
North
Yep.
Carolina.
Yep. No, he did not grad. Where's my prospect graduation? That's cooler. The ceremony was long on Friday night. You're gonna have to get ready for that. People who are listeners who have graduated,
I don't want to think about that right now, Mike.
it was good. It was good, but it was long. But
Oh.
they said my full name, and that was that.
Did
And now
you
we took care of business.
see the clip of
Yes. I knew what he would
bad,
say.
so
Keep
bad?
going for those who don't know, but yes.
There was this clip from like this, I think it was a university in New York,
Thomas Jefferson University
Thomas
in
Jefferson
Philly. I think
University.
Philly, I think.
Okay. And just the person that was announcing the names just was blundering every single name. It's almost like it was a like a some kind of joke. Like it, I was watching it and it was just, I was like, my parents would be so pissed.
Oh my God. It was Key and Peele-esque. Like, it was like,
Yes.
she said, like, Elizabeth Brennan or something like that, like Elizabeth Brennan or something. Like, it was like she was reading the syllables, and somebody said, like, on the card, it was like written, like, without any spaces, all syllables. And I think it all came to a tipping point in the clip. Part of it that made me laugh out loud was she said somebody's name was Thomas, and she said Tomei or something like that. And the kid literally corrected her and just said, Thomas, and then started walking, and then she just said Thomas, and he walked. And if you really step back for a second, you realize the university is called Thomas Jefferson University. So she really did not know what she was doing.
That's insane. It had to have been a prank. Like,
I don't know, but it's like it was one ceremony in one school. It was like the nursing program specifically. I feel bad for those kids.
I don't, she cannot have a job anymore, right?
At least not in the graduation ceremony.
No, that's crazy. If
Yeah.
you're, that's nuts.
Yeah, the whole thing was weird. Well,
Mikel.
Lawrence.
No, what would we say for you?
Well, yeah,
Mikel.
Mikel Lawrence. My friend was Michael Lawrence Fernelli Jr.
Or now, I don't know how you could screw up
I don't know how
Fernelli.
you can screw it up, but she would have found a way.
For Neli.
Yep, for Neli. Yep, I did. I was looking. Maybe I'll tweet this tomorrow if anyone listens this far into the episode of us yapping and wants to see this. I was in the F's of communication, so I had some time to wait. I was like probably about halfway through the ceremony, and there was like in arena feed on the Jumbotron, probably put on by some of the guys you know, actually. I don't know who puts that on,
No,
but oh, really? It was a different crew.
they brought in someone outside for it,
Okay.
apparently.
But there was in two of the lodge boxes on each side of the stadium, there was the cameras, and they would diagonal to each side, and they would ping pong, like Ben Hootie, Mike Fornelli, Nico Hoerner, Ian Happ, like it would just be bump, 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 bump. And that's like each side had a person at every moment. And when they said your name, you'd get like a brief clip at a live feed to the Jumbotron. And no one was really doing anything towards the camera. They would like sometimes face their parents and do like a little dance or like clap or something or just walk. I was like, the camera's right back there. I'm going to just directly stare at the camera and like feed and point at the camera and on the Jumbotron. And I did. And it worked out. And it was great. I thought it was funny.
Was there a picture?
Yeah, there's a picture.
I got to find it.
Yeah, there's a picture somewhere. I'll post it. I don't know. I just was like, I'm going to do something silly. Like, it's my one moment. So I found where the camera was and I pointed at the cameraman. I was hoping he would zoom in on me, but he didn't.
It wouldn't be your last moment at Illinois State University if you didn't do something goofy.
Yeah, exactly. I live as I die. As we move on from Illinois State University, you'll stop hearing about me yapping about ISU. Ben will still be around at the good old Illinois State University. Any last thoughts on this one, Ben?
Yeah, going back to the Cubs, just continue to grind it out. It's been a tough, as we talked about. I mean, it's just impressive that they're even 6 games over 500 at this point, considering, you know, how much has gone wrong. But yeah, just continue to grind these series out. Hope people get healthy. And yeah, listen to us on YouTube, Spotify,
Apple
subscribe Pods, everywhere. And make sure to start tuning into us on Monday mornings.
We will get back into our normal episodes of recapping games to game because we will only wait a week in between. Any other trades happen while we were live? Apparently, Jed's cooking in his office right now.
Mason Miller?
Him and Carter have to be in their office right now. Or like in some kind of, you know, they're probably not traveling with the team to Atlanta. They have to be in their office. There's no way Bro's doing this like in bed, like with Wordle open on the other tab on his phone. Like he's not at home. He's in his office doing this. That's a crazy job.
Yeah, I can only imagine, right?
I mean, it's a brilliant job. I'd be thrilled to have it, but it's probably very stressful. But yeah, he's probably just chilling in his office right now. They're both married, I think. They both have kids. They talked about it during CubsCon, but this is their season, man. This is like, we'll see you in the winter.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, Ben, I'll see you in the winter, maybe. I don't know when we're going to see each other next. We live so far apart. I'm off in the boondocks in northern suburban Chicago, and you're off in Normal and then back to the city.
Yeah, I know. I got so much. It's going to be a crazy week for me. I
know.
There might not be a lot of Cubs game watching, sadly.
Listen, I'll watch for us. Listen to
nah,
WZND this
up.
Listen to this weekend on WZND and tomorrow as well. See, I can't even say WZND anymore. I'm too far separated from college. Ben and some of our old friends will be covering those games for the Redbirds. They finish up their season. Who are they playing?
Belmont. And tomorrow is Southern Illinois. Why am I blanking? I should know this. That's really bad of me.
That's okay.
Eastern Illinois.
Eastern. Yeah, they played Southern a little bit ago. Yeah, Eastern. Okay. They won like 16-3 or something over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big time. That's big time. Cubs should go looking for a Daniel Pasella flyer.
Right? Year
from today. Well, no, it'd be 2 years from today, right?
Sounds about
yeah.
right.
Yeah. I forget. Is there a like a football type rule in college baseball? Do you have to
I
play
don't
3 years
so.
first? No, I don't think so.
I don't know. I think if you go JUCO, baseball draft is weird.
But then you can get drafted right out of high school.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I think if you go to college, you have to do 3 years.
Final note for this episode. I mean this final note because we're just yapping at this point on a late night. Quinn Priester might get the Cubs start on Sunday. Like against the Cubs.
At
Pirates
Field.
Legend, Cary Grove legend.
Has he pitched? Yeah, he has pitched at Wrigley Field, right?
One time we were doing a PSF stream last year, he came in relief. He has not gotten the start. He's supposed to start tomorrow in Milwaukee, and then it lines up where, barring any rain delays or any potential roster moves from the Pirates, he gets the start on Sunday. Paul Skeens will also get the start at Wrigley this weekend, meaning a potential Livy Dunn appearance at Wrigley Field this weekend. Audio listeners didn't get to see Ben's face. Gotta watch on YouTube for that one.
Everyone go to right field when Paul Skeens is pitching on Saturday and just chirp him. I wish I was there. I wanted to go so bad for his first start at Wrigley Field, and of course it lines up when I can't.
Yeah. People in Cary are saying, if you haven't listened to this podcast many before, I went to Cary Grove High School, which is where Quinn Priester went and got drafted in the first round out of high school. So everyone here loves to support him. It's a small town ish. Like people are saying on Facebook, like, oh, you know, let's get Cary people together and go to the Cubs game on Sunday to see Quinn pitch. To me, I'd rather go tomorrow, Milwaukee. We talked about it. I'm not going, but like, I don't want to root against. I'm not going to root against the Cubs, and I'm not going to root against a guy that I went to high school with. So I'm like,
Yeah.
indifferent about, like, no, I don't need to do that. Nope. Mm-mm.
Well,
I was never that close with them, but still.
Yeah. When we talk next on this podcast, we'll be talking about how the Cubs lit up Quinn Priester for 8 runs, 3 belly bombs, 2 Seiya bombs.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I love Quinn Priester just because of his MLB The Show card from all
those
years ago.
That's the funniest part. Because you before you even really knew me, you knew him from his show card when he was a prospect.
And when you told, I think we were recording an episode when you told me about it, I was like, it's my guy.
San Diego Studios really had higher expectations for him than what we've seen in the majors so far. Hey, I can't say that. He's like a 3-5 right now. He gets absolutely no run support in the games he plays. I mean, it's the Pirates, but whatever. All right, we're going to wrap that. We'll talk to you next week on Sunday after the Priester start. We'll record so you get an episode on Monday. Ben, it's been a pleasure. Have a good week in Bloomington Normal. Go Cubs, go.